Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Friday's at 5:30, and that means our friend Joey Harrington, J. Joseph Harrington. And before we get into sports.
J. Joseph, huh?
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Joseph Harrington.
Yeah, but yeah. That's pretty astute.
Isaac should be I. Everett Ropp. It's a much better title if he had like a real job, like a
I. Everett Ropp.
Honorable. If he was a judge, Everett Ropp. That's like a Supreme Court justice name.
Yes,
that's my name.
You have completely like jumped a notch in coolness now. Yes. In my mind.
Yeah. It's my alter ego. I'm a judge too. The Honorable I. Everett Ropp.
I think Esquire should come at the end of it as well.
That makes it a little pretentious, though.
Well, he's kind of pretentious. I mean, look
at it. Well, it's the hair.
He's very swarthy right now.
So I got a text from Joey.
Yeah.
He's like, going to be a little late. But he's not late.
No.
He made it.
On time.
But the reply message to Joey's, to my text to Joey, mm-hmm. if we're following, is not receiving notifications. He does the do not disturb.
Oh, while he's driving.
Is that what you do while you're driving? How do you do that? I don't even know how you do that.
You go to the settings and then you hit on.
The moon, the half moon thing?
Okay, hold on. Let's try it again. So like you go into like where it says do not disturb me while I'm driving and then you push
on.
Yeah,
it's very detailed.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
That's how dumb
I am.
That's
responsible of him though.
That is responsible. So then do you know what you have to do to get through that? Because what if I really need to get through to Joey?
I have no idea.
You have to reply to that reply and say urgent.
Oh, and then it like kicks over?
And then it will kick it through.
Oh, I had no
idea. Did you know that?
I did. Oh. Yeah, that's in the event like, you know, you have something urgent.
Like a kid gets his hand caught in a microwave and needs like immediate attention.
Exactly.
Now, I thought about sending my reply of a thumbs up.
Urgent.
But I didn't want to.
I've actually never had anybody do that. And that would have been awesome.
Because it does seem quite serious. But at the same time, what if that's the moment Joey looks at his phone, it's like, oh crap, urgent. And then
thumbs up.
And then your other arm's broken.
It is scary how often you see someone just all over the road. And then you look down and, you know, you look over there and you just see like their heads buried in the phone.
Oh, God, they're not even looking at the road.
Yeah, it is quite terrifying.
Did you watch that Blazers game last night?
I did.
You did?
I did.
You a big Blazers fan?
Yeah. I mean, I'm.
I feel like that was an overly enthusiastic, not really, but you're trying to make the case.
Well, see, I wouldn't call myself a fan. Like that's kind of
enthusiast.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like a diehard wearing Blazer gear, but I'm a season ticket holder. And I will go to all the, you know, I can't go to 41 home games. So I sell 2/3 to friends who take their kids. And, you know, I keep about 13, 14 games of that a year and take my kids and go, you know, a couple games with my wife and go with my brother and she'll take friends. And my oldest, Jack, is a big Blazer fan. And, you know, on the nights when he gets to stay up a little later, we'll watch the first half of games. And so, yeah, I mean, I definitely follow the Blazers and love the Blazers. You know, I'm not a diehard. It's not going to ruin my day if they blow a lead in the fourth quarter, but I definitely cheer for them and am a native, you know, true Blazer fan.
Well, the good news is they didn't blow a lead in the fourth quarter because they never had a lead.
Yeah, that's true. But they were down 25 at one point. I mean, let's give them. Okay, let's back
hard.
Up.
Yeah. You give them credit for that?
I'll just hate that.
Let's not go that far. Okay, when you're shooting what were they? Dallas hit like 74 three-pointers in the first quarter.
I think it was an NBA record. I think combined was 43 or 44.
It was ridiculous.
Ties the NBA record.
No. It was ridiculous. Like they scored 30 in the first quarter and we're still down 15.
No.
I mean, when are you on pace to score 120 points, yet you're still losing by double digits?
Well, didn't they go on a 17-0 run and they were still down?
Eight.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
They were still down eight. They cut it to single digits by going on a 17-0 run.
Lillard at this point is like Lillard is like Crash Davis and Bull Durham, right? Like goes out and hits like three dingers and then you realize you lose 12-3 and you're like, yeah. Just a lot of wasted effort. Dude, he is amazing, but it's just, you know, throwing water into the ocean.
Did you play basketball? Were you like a multi-sport stud?
I did. I wouldn't say that I was a multi-sport stud. I think I was like, you know, that honorable mention all state, you know, where like if you made all conference, you get like a vote somewhere. But I played against Freddie Jones and Jared Price and that group. I always remind Freddie, I was like, hey, you know, when I see him, it's, hey, remember I had 28-12 on you? And he looks back, he's like, yeah, but I had 38-16 on you. I was like, okay, all right, fine.
Damn.
But no, I was a good basketball player. I wasn't a star or a standout. I played point guard for the majority of my career, and then
you were a good athlete.
And then
in
I
high
ended
school.
Up as a power forward. Like yeah. I could think my way through a basketball. I was a good player. I wasn't a great player.
Well, again, if you go play in the NFL, you're a good athlete, and good athletes at the high school level can usually play multiple sports.
Exactly.
Baseball.
I didn't play baseball. I didn't want to hurt my arm, but I did play golf.
Oh, you played golf in high school?
Yeah, because the translation for that, or the, like, it was, well, let's see, I can go play free golf every afternoon. Yeah.
Right.
And just go hang out with my friends.
Yeah, it's a much better gig.
Yeah, right. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
What is your advice to sports parents of young up-and-coming?
Are you going off of the Patrick Mahomes story this week?
Yes.
Yes. Do it all. Play it all. As long as you can, as much as you can. To the point where it doesn't overwhelm your child, right? Because I think the worst thing that you could possibly do to a not even a young athlete, but just a young person, is get them specialized in something at too young of an age.
Burn them out.
Because that's exactly what it does. It sets them up for failure.
Well, and you see, like I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a doctor, and he works with an orthopedic guy that kind of share an office, and they were talking about the unbelievable rise in orthopedic injuries that they see with kids.
It's because you don't have change in movement anymore.
Yep.
He
said it's this. He said they used to see this in 30, 40, 50 year old guys that, you know, or women that had just done one activity. You were a cyclist, or you played baseball, you played golf, or whatever. You do the same motion, you know, 30,000 times, something wears out. And he says they're seeing it in 14, 15, 16 year olds. It's unbelievable.
I never saw a knee injury. With the exception of a freak, a guy got knocked into and dislocated his kneecap, which is, I never saw ACL, MCL, never saw any cartilage, never saw nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing like that, because you played football in the fall and then you played basketball in the winter and you played baseball in the spring and, you know, you
maybe ran track and field or threw shot or wrestled or whatever.
But you were always doing a different one season it was forward and back. The next season it's lateral. So you gave your body, you gave your joints a chance to do something different, to improve, to grow, and not repeatedly wear down the same thing over and over. Now it's commonplace full knee reconstruction in high school.
Tommy John through the roof, people in high school, and women are blowing, like young girls are blowing out ACLs.
Yes.
They're more prone to it anyways, but you know, they're blowing them out left and right. It's scary. This was like 2 weeks ago I had this conversation, and he goes, I can't honestly keep up with it. Like the guy's turning people away. He's having to refer to him. He goes, my business has never been better, but he goes, I feel bad. He goes, I used to operate on 40-year-olds. He goes, now I operate on 15-year-olds.
Yeah, and I can understand, okay, there is, let's put it into context here. There is a part of a parent that wants to take care of their child, right? To want to do the best thing or give them the best opportunities. And so if you are under the belief that the only way for my child to play high school sports is, well, they got to commit at a young age because they're going to be at a disadvantage if they don't play club ball or they don't play winter ball, or they don't do something in the off season, or they don't do it year round, they're going to be at a disadvantage. Garbage. I do not subscribe to that. I do not believe in that, because I think playing other sports gives them the advantage of having different experiences, of being able to explode laterally in a sport where you need to go front and back as well. It gives them diversity where other students, now, not to say that you shouldn't be or can't be focusing on and playing a lot of basketball. You know, you're going to get better as a basketball player. But there's a balance between only being a basketball player and loving basketball, practicing basketball, maybe playing on a club team in the off season, but doing soccer as well, but doing baseball, but doing something that breaks up that monotony, that focus, that wear and tear on your body, which is not good for young developing athletes.
Well, and unfortunately now you got a lot of coaches that are forcing kids to make the decision. That's the same one. Everyone knows parents that out there that will tell you that if your kid isn't doing XYZ at some of these really competitive programs in high schools, a lot of with the affluent places, whether you're talking about Camas or Lake O or Westland or whatever. Dude, if you're not on board the train when your kid is 10, 11 years old, there's this sense that the coaching, the coaching staff just kind of forgets about you and leaves you behind. So it's this weird pressure that goes round and round.
But exactly. And it's, I won't say that it's, naive or ignorant, but how many 10, 11 year olds did you see growing up that were the fastest, the best in fifth grade, that by the time they were seventh and eighth grader, they stopped growing and everybody else caught up, right?
Vinnie Myers. So we all know a kid.
Exactly. And so it is absolutely ridiculous to think that if your kid is as a freshman or sophomore in high school is going to get left off of the team, even if they're a good enough athlete, simply because they didn't participate year round as a sixth grader.
Yeah.
I mean, that's garbage, yeah. Absolute garbage. And it's ignoring the fact that kids mature at different rates. It's ignoring the fact that kids can improve at different times. I mean, you give the story of Mike Doliak who was as a freshman, as a freshman in high school, got cut as a junior, finally made it onto the basketball team at 6'4", only to grow 6 or 7 inches over the offseason and come in as a 7-foot senior and get a scholarship to the University of Utah and end up as a lottery pick in the NBA draft.
Look at Michael Ruse. He played at my high school over in Vancouver, Mountain View, and he was a basketball player. He was a 6'7", 6'8" basketball player in his senior year. I think one of the coaches convinced him to come out and try football. Went on as a tight end. Eastern Washington, I think, saw him and was like, it's, six, eight, 6'7" athletic kid. We'll make him into something. Brought him to Eastern Washington, moved to offensive tackle.
I was going to say, put him at tackle.
And a couple years later, out of Eastern Washington, I believe he was a first round pick, Tennessee Titans, and played, 9, 10, 11 years in the NFL. You know, we all have littered this. We had a quarterback who was a walk on at BYU. Spent 2 years there, realized he was never going to do it. They put 20, 30 pounds on him, moved to tight end, played basically 1 year of tight end, third round pick by the Raiders.
Right.
Doug Jolly played 8, 9 years in the NFL as a tight end and had never done anything other than be a quarterback before that.
And these are obviously extreme cases of people who are at older and farther along in their career. But if you're talking about, because what does every parent want for their kids? They want them to be happy. Yeah. They want them to have a good learning experience. They want them to be involved. They want them to have something that they care about, right? And you don't have to make that their life.
Yeah.
As a 10-year-old, in order for them to enjoy and have that experience. So maybe they don't play varsity as a freshman. Who cares?
Who cares? Mom and dad care.
Can I play devil's advocate on that?
Yeah.
As a parent, I would say, well, okay, so my kid really likes basketball. He plays all different sports, but he really likes basketball. And now the basketball coach is saying, hey, we need him to go to this. We would like him to go to this camp. It's going to cost X number of dollars. So, okay, well, maybe I can afford it. Won't he get a lot better at the sport that he likes?
But doing a summer camp is different than playing on a year-round travel team that forces you to give up the option of playing other sports.
It costs $10,000.
Right.
If I'm hearing you right, you're saying some of these things,
sports specific in the off season are okay.
Yes.
But mix
absolutely.
It up over the course of the year.
Oh,
mix
I did
it up.
Football camps in the off during the summer. And I did, you know, I played, we had summer league basketball for a couple weeks, you know, right as school ended in high school. And, you know, you'd play on an AAU team for a month for a tournament, but you were always doing something else. And if a coach ever tells you, hey, look, you have to give up football, baseball, and track if you want to play basketball, I'm sorry. That is a narrow viewpoint. I'll just put it that way.
All right, we'll come back with more with Joey Harrington. The reason I brought up the Blazers game was because it goes to a theme that we've been talking about over the course of the weeks, and that is offense, offense, offense.
Oh, interesting.
Right? And now look at this Super Bowl. I think the Super Bowl looks a little bit like the conversation that we had about the top offense versus the top defense in the college football championship game. And you ended up being right about that. So let's talk about that, but we'll have to do it next on The Fan. All right, Joey Harrington back in studio on Friday. Okay, so sports are all about offense these days. We saw the Blazers and the Mavs hit 43 three-pointers
in the first half.
In the first quarter.
In the first, yeah.
And that ties an NBA record. I mean, it's insane. And, you know, Chuck Barkley was on there at halftime griping about it, and he hates it, and where's defense and this and that. Well, this is the same conversation that we've been having about football.
Okay.
Clemson, LSU, top defense of Clemson, top offense of LSU. The defenses have traditionally won out, and it didn't happen that way. LSU, the offense, dominated them. Take that to this Super Bowl. You've got the Chiefs, great offense, great quarterback, but you've got the immovable force of the Niners defense. Have we just turned the corner on this defense wins championships argument, and it's the generation of the offenses?
Here is what I would say to that. I would say potentially. And my reasoning is, look at what Kansas City has done the previous 2 weeks, right? They've come out and pooped the bed for the first quarter and a half, right? So let's say San Francisco comes out and shuts down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs until there's 3 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Well, they don't need 3 minutes to score, you know, a couple touchdowns. And the explosion that that offense has had, granted, it wasn't against the Niners, but the explosion that they have had in such a short amount of time, you know, let's say what they put up, like, I'm trying to think. They put up 50 a couple weeks ago.
I think they scored, you know, 7 touchdowns in a row. Might have been 8. 7 or 8 touchdowns in a row.
Let's call it just 50. It's a round number. Let's say San Francisco holds them to half of that. Right? Let's hold them to 25 points. You're telling me now that Jimmy Garoppolo has to go out and score 4 touchdowns. Do you think you can do that? Because as great as the difference between a great, and now there are exceptional defenses, the Ravens, you know, of, what was it, 2000? You know, there are those Giants with, you know, LT.
And Seahawks in the league.
True. But the NFL now is starting to see that influx of the collegiate offense from, you know, the Chip Kelly influence, right? The Chip Kelly, the Texas Tech, the air raid, that stuff that never worked in the NFL before is starting to work and is starting to play very well in the NFL. And so offense, and with the, you know, rule changes and everything going towards offense, there is going to be a time where the offense is going to explode. Like it's almost inevitable. And so to be perfect over the course of a game, for a defense to shut out an offense, you have to be perfect over the course of an entire game. For an offense like Kansas City to score 24 points, all they have to do is have
quarter and a half,
4 or 5 plays, right? 4 or 5 explosion plays, which, you know, every play that you draw up on a piece of paper is designed to be an explosion play. Yep. So, is a great defense a humongous asset? Absolutely. Could it go out and win the Super Bowl? Sure, it could.
But which would you rather have?
I think right now, but
look, the point spread's even, right?
Yeah, but see,
a great offense and a great defense. Which do you take into the Super Bowl?
It depends on how the opposite is, because the I would, you say, I want a great offense, but then you look at Mike Leach and Washington State, and they have a defense that is so porous over the last decade that you score. What did they score? The quarterback had 9 touchdown passes this year and lost. How do you throw 9 touchdown passes and lose, right? So there's a difference between having the best offense and the worst defense, and having a best offense and an average defense.
And that's why this Super Bowl to me is so intriguing, because Kansas City's defense isn't bad.
Right.
And the last 6 or 7 weeks, it's been really good.
Exactly.
And the San Francisco offense isn't bad. So you have two greats,
yes,
but then you also have two goods.
Above average. Yeah. Like,
so that's what I'm saying. So you want the offense?
If I'm making a choice right now, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes over Nick Bosa. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. And I know that DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead are going to probably, you know, throughout the duckosphere, are going to, you know, punch me in the head. But that's what I would take right now based on how the game is built.
Well, I look at it, and to me, because I was always a defensive guy, and I did not think that the collegiate game would ever infiltrate this much. But to me, the great equalizer is you can't hit the quarterback anymore.
Right.
It changed.
And you can't touch the receivers anymore either.
You can't touch him. But if you look like that run that Pat Mahomes had, the big touchdown,
they didn't want to tackle him.
They didn't want to tackle him. And I've now seen in the playoffs 3 or 4 times guys coming in on free hits on quarterbacks, and they stop. The play that Deshaun Watson had, where he spun out, where the two guys were coming in from Buffalo, the two guys were coming in. In the olden days, we're cleaning him up off the ground with a spatula. Mm-hmm. But both of those
guys... That's why Jeff Hostetler plays.
Yes. Both of those guys got there and kind of stopped. And I think that the inability to hit the quarterback, whether when he's running, when he's in the pocket, I just think that has changed the game to where I'm kind of with you, and I never thought I would say it. I do. I think that offense is becoming more important than defense, because there is no equalizer when you can't rough up the quarterback. It allows smaller guys to come in. You can be mobile, and you add that 11th player and that dimension of running. It's really
hard. You simply don't have the numbers as a defense to account for everybody. Yeah.
Can I attempt to blow your mind?
Yes, absolutely.
You don't need to think about that.
Okay. I was trying to think of like a song. There was like a song reference. It was like, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. No, I brought this up earlier, and I think it blew some people's minds that didn't already hear this. Pat Mahomes ran a 4.8 40 at the combine. Do you know what Peyton Manning ran at the NFL combine?
He didn't run faster than Pat Mahomes.
4.8
Really?
They ran the same 40. Now, is that not mind-blowing or what?
Okay. You're looking at somebody who ran a 4.87 at the combine. Okay. So, and I am... was I slower than Peyton? I can't say that I was slow. I probably was, but...
Boy, he didn't look good moving around.
Oh, God, it was horrible. But I didn't look good either. So... You learn how to run a 40 when you are getting ready for draft prep. Like when you're getting ready for the combine, they teach you how to drag your thumb on the pad. They teach you when to lean forward. They teach you, you know, how to get your steps, you know, your first 5 steps coming out of the chute. Like there are tricks that you can take. You know, I was a 4.95 guy that I ran a 4.87 at the combine because I learned the tricks. So,
and then you see the Tyreek. This is everyone in the NFL is fast, but you watch a guy like Tyreek Hill, and I don't care what Tyreek Hill's 40 was. I'm sure it was great, but there are people in the NFL that are that much faster than everyone else because it's not about running 40s and it's not about dragging thumbs in the footsteps. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill is just fast.
Well, you know, Lamar Jackson's, I mean, he didn't run it at the combine. So you have to go back to his
pro day.
He was a 4.34. I mean, now that's like lightning fast.
I ran that. That was when we were timing 30s. That's what I ran.
That is absurd, by the way.
It's absurd. It is, and the guy's playing quarterback. Yeah. And like you say, you can't go at him full strength. Like, but Mahomes was a 4.8. Which is so
And yet he's
odd.
Still out there making plays with his legs.
Yeah, that was a great run.
The days of the stand-up quarterback, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's over, but it's a dying breed because when you look at these guys that can extend plays and move around in the pocket from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers to Andrew Luck.
And I know that's a stammering stutter there. I wouldn't call Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers I would potentially put them in more on that pocket quarterback, right? Because it's not about running a 4-3 and being Lamar Jackson.
No.
It's about being smart enough to recognize the opportunities to run.
And extend plays. And
yes, being able to escape from the pocket and get 5 or 6 yards. And, you know, hey, it's third and four, and you know that the, you know, single safety, they're playing man coverage. They've locked down your routes. In man coverage, nobody accounts for the quarterback. Yep. If I can escape pressure, you know, take my drop 3 or 4 seconds, routes run down the field. Now I have that space to run, get the, you know, move the chains and keep the drive going. So it's not, you don't have to run a 4-3. You just have to be able to escape a little bit.
Sure. And you look at like the Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson types that play behind bad offensive lines. You know, you put a true pocket quarterback behind those lines and it's over. Like you couldn't see, like Tom Brady, for as great as Tom Brady is, or Drew Brees, if they played in Seattle's offense, it would be a death sentence. But when you play with a guy that can extend plays, and Pat Mahomes is this way, he finds ways to slide around in the pocket and makes, even though if he's not necessarily running downfield, it's just such an added weapon.
It's like
that these guys have, especially with the offensive line play in the league, which, you know, everyone always talks about how the college game ruined receivers, ruined quarterbacks. It's ruined offensive linemen. There's not many good ones. And so, you know, you get these guys that can extend plays and move around. It can erase a lot of the issues you have up front.
Well, it's just I would think it would be so frustrating. It's like you scheme and you got good coaches on both sides who scheme pretty well for what the Chiefs do or what Deshaun Watson does. And then, you know, half of the plays break down and it just becomes backyard football. And then it's like
some people are better at backyard football than others.
It's like what do you do there? And well, that's what Mahomes does.
Well, but it's not like this is a new thing, right? No. Because Brett Favre played backyard football, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jim McMahon played backyard football. Like you can go down the list of guys that have played like this.
I like backyard football.
I do too, but the problem was with backyard football is it always ended up with your quarterback in the turf, and you know, and Jim McMahon and these guys, and you know, Steve Young and his concussions. Although you know, he was able to be okay, you know, for an extended period of time. But you know, now you don't have those big hits. Quarterbacks don't. Yeah. When's the last time you saw a starting quarterback just get annihilated, and you were like, "Oh my god, it just doesn't happen."
Trent Green.
Was died 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, if I were an OC, Joey, I'd be a great OC because I'd be like, hey, quarterback, get out of the pocket, make something happen.
Wow.
That'd be my offense. I feel like it works.
Somebody should hire you.
Yeah.
Was Oregon looking for a coordinator?
They were. They didn't call. But
they didn't call?
I thought about texting you, but then it would have been reply with urgent if you really need to get through. And then
the thumbs up comes.
You know, the other thing that does is it stops pass rushes. If you watch when you play an athletic quarterback, you can't pin your ears back. Defensive ends have to play contain. Interior defensive linemen can't run stunts in games because if you do and you run out of your lane, you know, it breaks it. So if you have an athlete back there too, it kind of forces defensive linemen to really stay in more of basic rush lanes and almost play a contain, squeeze the pocket. So it has that effect too, where it changes the way defenses can attack you.
Good times. I love it.
Neat stuff. Neat stuff.
It really is neat.
Neat stuff.
It's an entertaining game.
It really is. And so is the Blazers game, to bring it full circle.
How in the world did we start there and end here?
43 threes.
All right, Joe, see you next week.
Yeah, you will.
Talk some more Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Do you have any hot Super Bowl stories? I'm sure you've been to a few.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to hear. Let's do
Super Bowl
story. Kick off story time with Joey, which we're going to do after football season.
With the Super Bowl.
With Super Bowl story time with Joey next week.
Oh, man. Hey, what's, oh, that's right. I hosted a concert with Holly Robinson Peete.
Oh.
Wasn't she was on Hanging with Mr. Cooper,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was awesome. We can start with that.
Did you play piano?
I didn't. But her husband, Rodney Peete, was a Detroit Lions quarterback. And so we had, you know, we had that going.
You had a lot to talk about.
Oh, we had a lot to talk about.
All right, we'll do that next week. Thank you, Joey.
Yeah.
Joey, every Friday, 5:30, courtesy of BMW of Portland. Let's get to the club. The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.